And so in creation, how did God create things? He spoke. That's it. He spoke not being into being. So by the word of God, he created the universe. He created everything that lives upon the earth and created us. He created me and you. And so the principle today, we receive the life of God, we become the new creation. And the new creation today, the principle is still the same. He is still dispensing himself into us, imparting more of his life into us by speaking. Not by our doing, but by his living and active word in us. And I think we were all very much impressed with those expectations on the board last night. No more expectations. Praise the Lord. Why do we have those? It's mainly because we don't know the word. Because we don't know the word, we don't have the living word of God in us, then we self-impose these regulations, these expectations to fulfill this new creation. So actually, there's one point in the outline that we read, and I really appreciate it. Let's turn to Roman numeral 2. Roman numeral 2, and then under letter B, there's the number 2, starting with according to our human concept. According to our human concept, this type of change requires a great deal of work. Amen. It does not require very much work at all. So we don't need to work that hard. I work hard in school, but our Christian life, we don't need to work hard. Just by getting into the Word of God, this Word will change us. This Word will reconstitute us, will fill us with the divine life. And this makes us a new creation. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Behold, the old things have passed away. They have become new. Amen. So that's what the new creation is. It's just God added into us. That's all it is. So simple. Once we add God into us, we become the new creation. And this word, once we become the new creation, this word is in us, this makes us the most joyful people. This isn't some artificial joy you're conjuring up, but this is the Lord dwelling in you. It makes you the most happy person in the universe. I think we all want to be happy this weekend, right? Lord, make us joyful in you. Amen. Amen. So maybe with that, we can turn to message 2. Page 7. And let's read the title together. Ready to go. Christ, the living word and the life-giving spirit. One more time. Christ, the living word and the life-giving spirit. Did you all know that God gave two gifts to man? The two greatest gifts to man. What are these gifts? Spirit. And the living word. It's right here. The two greatest gifts we have. The living word and the life-giving spirit. And today we want to go into these two gifts. And specifically in two portions of the Bible. So with the living word, the first part, we want to get into the Gospels. The Gospels, they're Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And these four books, they show us what a wonderful person, what a wonderful word of God we have. And so the second part, the life-giving spirit, we're going to go into the epistles. So the epistles are letters written by apostles to specific churches, to specific people. And in these letters, we can clearly see Christ today. He's not just the living word, but he's also the life-giving spirit dwelling in us. And so with that, let's read Roman numeral 1 together. The four Gospels are the full record, picture, and revelation of the Lord Jesus as the expression of God, the living word of God for us to read, see, and understand. So like what was mentioned last night, our God wants us to understand him. He's not just someone that a mysterious person far away, but today, as the word of God, we can read him. We can see him, and we can understand him, because the word today is the expression of God. And especially in these four Gospels, I feel like many of us, we've read through the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. If you want to start with your Bible reading schedule, you usually start with Matthew, and then you finish, and then you forget about your schedule. A year later, you start over again, start with Matthew again. So we actually go through these books often, but I hope this morning we can be impressed. Like these Gospels shows us what kind of God we have, shows us who our God is, not just the things he did, but more so who he is and what he is to us. And you can say these four books are four biographies of our Lord Jesus. You know, any kind of person, if you want to know about a person, they probably just need one biography. Or at least a Wikipedia page, and that's it. You can know everything about them. But our Lord today, he's so vast that even the four Gospels, we just get a little glimpse of what he is. Actually, I was just reminded of a verse in the last verse in the book of John. If we can turn to that. You can follow along with me. I'll read it. John 21:25. And there are also, so this is the last verse in the Gospels, the last verse. And there are also many other things which Jesus did, which if they were written one by one, I suppose that not even the world itself could contain the books written. What kind of God do we have? Four books is not enough to talk about this one. And so I'm inspired to get into these Gospels more, to know who my Lord is. Because we'll see later, I don't want to get ahead, but if we don't know our Lord Jesus Christ, we can't really enjoy him and experience him to that great of an extent. And maybe our lack of enjoyment is due to our lack of knowing him. So maybe let's read point A together. When Christ... Do we all remember 1 John 1:1 that was mentioned last night? It's on page 6, and the verse is on page 6. 1 John 1:1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, and which we beheld, hands handled, concerning the word of life. So this word of life is just Christ. This Christ, the disciples saw, they touched, they beheld with his hands, they snuggled with him in his bosom. So this one, they were able to understand Christ. And now, it's all in the word of God. I forgot to bring my Bible up. Let me bring it up. So this book that we have, it contains all of it. The word of God contains all that the Lord did and all that he has spoken, and it shows us what he did and who he is. Amen. And let's read point B together. The four Gospels show us the King with all authority, a slave serving God and us, a perfect man. So if you have a pen or a highlighter, maybe take that out right now. And actually this point covers the four Gospels in the New Testament. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. So Matthew, the first book, talks about the King. He is the King. King with all authority. So Christ, he came as a King to establish the kingdom of heavens on the earth today. And the ones from Montreal, we've been going through the book of Matthew in our Bible studies, right? And maybe some of us can share on that later, but it's been really marvelous going into the book of Matthew. So second is book of Mark, and he shows us Christ as the slave, a slave serving God and us. Amen. So he did not come to serve, but Christ came to be served. He came to serve. And thirdly, the book of Luke talks about Christ as a perfect man, so underline man. So Christ is not just God, he is not just a king, but he came as a real and genuine man. And even through the book of Luke, we can see all that the Lord did. He was such a genuine man with a fine, perfect, and balanced humanity. And lastly, the book of John, it shows us that Christ is God, God incarnate who came to impart life to us. Amen. And there's a hymn that talks about this. I was enjoying it this morning. I'll just read some of the stanzas. It's in the hymnal, it's hymn 190. It kind of goes through all these aspects of what Christ is to us. I'll just read a few stanzas. Thou art beside all these a king, a king in life and love to reign, by God anointed with his power to rule with us in his domain. So that's Matthew. He's the king. Second one. Thou even art a lowly slave, a slave of God to serve for us, obedient to the cross's death, that we might be delivered thus. That's Mark, right? Mark, slave savior. Thirdly, thou also art a man indeed, a man so fine, so good, so pure, a man in whom our God delights, a man who can our love secure. That's Christ as our man savior. And lastly, thou art the very God in truth, the God who is both love and light, the God who is to us our life, the God in whom we all delight. It might be just words to us. Maybe we don't understand it completely, but I feel like this is a new start for us. We can all begin to experience and to know our dear Lord Jesus in a fresh and living way. And that's starting with the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And let's go to point C. Through his death and resurrection, amen. So in this point, you see there's two becomings. So actually there's two becomings of Christ. In eternity, Christ is. He is. But in time, he became flesh, and then he became the life-giving spirit. So there's two verses you guys should remember for today. It should be on here. Well, one of them is John 1:14 on page 6. And the Word became flesh and tabernacled among us, and we beheld his glory, glory as of the only begotten Father, full of grace and reality. So that's the first becoming. Christ, he became flesh. The Word became flesh and tabernacled among us. And later we'll see in the epistles, 1 Corinthians 15:45. I think we all know the second part. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. So not only did he become flesh, but Christ today, he is the life-giving spirit. And what's the purpose of this? Why did he do this? To be in us, to be our life. Amen. You know, when the disciples are living, Jesus was physically there. They touched him, they held him, they saw him, but he couldn't get into. Christ couldn't get into the disciples, right? You can't physically get into somebody. But today, he became the life-giving spirit. So he's in me, he's in you, he's in Kevin, he's in Arseny, he's in all of us. We have the life-giving spirit today. Amen. And the purpose of this is so that we can experience Christ and we can enjoy Christ. Amen. But what I really wanted to kind of present to you all is, you know, we all want to experience and enjoy Christ. That's why we're here, that's why we gave up a weekend, that's why we drove 8 hours, 6 hours to come here to enjoy Christ, to experience Christ. But I hope that our degree of enjoyment can advance. Because we're all progressing, we're all growing in life, and maybe we've had the sense, why am I not enjoying Christ that much? It feels like it's just the same as last year, all over again. Or why is that person enjoying Christ so much, but Christ is still the same to me. Why is that? Well, maybe it's because we don't know Christ as the living Word. Maybe we don't have the Word in us. Because if we don't know this Christ, if we don't know this Lord Jesus, then how can we enjoy him as all these things that's presented in the Gospels? How can we enjoy him as the living water, the food, the air that we breathe? You know, all these things that are presented. If we don't know him, we can't experience him to that great of an extent. And I think there's many illustrations, like just even our phone. The more you know your phone, the more you appreciate it, and the more it becomes useful, not to distract your time, but useful to you. Yeah, amen. So, okay, McGill and Concordia Bible Studies. We've been going through the book of Matthew, and these past 2 weeks we've been going through Matthew chapter 9. So all of you that were there, feel free to speak up, because there were many items that were presented what Christ is. So I'll start. First one, Christ is the physician. He came to heal us. He's the great physician. What about the second one? Anyone. He's the bridegroom. He's someone enjoyable. He's not for us to go there sorrowfully, but he came for us to enjoy. You're in a wedding. Nobody's sad in a wedding. Everyone's happy. Everyone's joyful. How about the third one? Refuge. Amen. Somewhere in Matthew. Yeah. Anyways, there's so many things. He is the new wine. Oh, that was my favorite one, the new wine. He is the new wineskin. He is also our shepherd. He is also the Lord of the harvest. So my point is just in this one chapter, in Matthew chapter 9, there's so many different aspects of Christ that are revealed. And all these are subjective to us, to our experience. But if we didn't know this, then how can we experience this? You know, recently there's just been a lot of things going on, going to different places, people visiting. I got really tired. Like, I'm tired of going to places. I'm tired of showing people things. It's all... And I was just praying, Lord, like, I'm so tired. I'm so exhausted. But then as we were reading Matthew 9, right, it says he's the new wine. He is living. He is full of life. He is the cheering wine, full of life, full of vigor. So my prayer wasn't just, oh, Lord, I'm so tired. Oh, Lord, enliven me. My prayer was, Lord, you are the living water. You are the new wine. You're the cheering wine. I don't want to just be this old wineskin just like fulfilling some kind of regulation or expectation. That's just like, it's going to burst. But I want you as a new wine. And I want to be in the church as a new wineskin, filled with Christ as this living wine. But if I didn't know this passage, it's just, oh, Lord, strengthen me. Enliven me. Thank you, Lord. Amen. You see kind of the difference? You know, your prayer life, your Christian life, your school life, your study life can be so much richer if you know Christ as a living word. So my burden is just, we need to know Christ. Know Christ as this living one. The more that we know him, the more that we know this one revealed in the Bible, then the more we can experience and enjoy this living Christ. So let's read, let's just read point C one more time. Through his death and resurrection,
hallelujah. Amen. Sorry, I forgot my name tag at home. Still not perfect. But my name is Dennis. I live here in Montreal. And it's so good to be with you this morning. Wasn't sure if I was going to be able to be here. I'd planned not to be here. Well, I'd planned to be here, but my wife had a baby 2 weeks early. So I could be here this morning. Wonderful. The Lord arranged it for me to be here. How about all the brothers in the back row stand up and say, oh Lord, amen, hallelujah. Oh Lord, amen. All right, sisters in the back row. Ready? Stand up. You got it. No one's falling asleep this morning. Oh Lord, amen, hallelujah. Amen. Oh Lord, amen, hallelujah. You know, we do this so much and we're like, the Spirit is so available, but maybe we don't appreciate what kind of process the Lord had to go through. You know, if you were to summarize this whole message, I would use one word, this process, right? What did the living Word have to go through to become the life-giving Spirit? So to give you a little example, I brought something. I brought my son's lunch bag. All right. So, yeah, it's a monkey bag. So the Lord, last night we saw he is the living Word in eternity past. He is always the Word. And the Word is God, right? The Word is God. But what happened to the Word? The Word became flesh, right? And no one said the Word is Christ, right? The Word is also Christ, right? Because God became a man, right? This is the Lord Jesus. So before the Lord became a man, he was intangible. I couldn't touch him. No one could touch him. But as he became a man, now, I don't know who he used last night, but I used Huang. Now as a man, come here, he could touch him, right? So Huang here was baptized into the body of Christ. Christ is in him. Now, you know, I'm God. I will be Peter. And you can be the Lord Jesus. I could touch him. I could be with him. But I could not be in him yet. I could walk among him. You know, I could, I made all the failures. So, you know, anyways, Peter made all the failures. And the Lord had to rebuke him many times and help him. Thank you, brother. But the Lord cannot get inside of him. So what kind of process did the Lord have to go through? Okay? And you could say, well, I wasn't born at that time, so I'm just out of luck. You know, I missed the Lord's physical presence. So I can't have this tangible God anymore. Actually, that concept is false. The Lord today can be more real than he was to the disciples. You may argue with me, no, I'm face to face. Is my mic not a... Is it good? Can you guys hear me? We're on, but... You guys can hear me back there? Okay, amen. The speaker's are way in the back, but anyways. So the Lord could be among us. But what's better, to be among us or to be in us? I would say both. I want to see the Lord face to face. But today, we have the privilege of having the Lord in us. So here, we got a cup. Brother Lemon, who wants to eat a... It's actually a lime, sorry. I didn't have lemon. The Lord didn't have very good appearance outwardly, but he is very tasty, all right? So the Lord Jesus, as God, you know, is actually not enterable, right? God dwells in unapproachable light. He cannot get inside of you. You would be smitten if you came into his presence. But he came inside a man named the Lord Jesus. So now he was approachable as a man. Okay, so how am I going to get this into me? Maybe some of you like Mexican food and you eat this raw, you know, like the San Diego. You put it on your burritos, chili, you know. But I like lemonade. I love lemonade. So the Lord had to first come out of heaven and become a man. But what did he have to go through? I was going to do this example this morning, maybe later if the Lord leads me, is everything the Lord had to go through was a process. He didn't just break forth. Hey, I'm here as a life-giving spirit. Breathe into you. That was at the end of John. So he had to be cut. Crucifixion, he was cut. His blood was shed for us. And actually he was squeezed. All his life juice was squeezed out of him. Yeah, I need some water. So the Lord, actually, his life was being poured out. Day by day, his whole life was actually a pouring out. Day by day, he was being poured out. Because he wanted to find a way to get into you as the Spirit. So, we don't have the lemon juice, we need some water. All right. Right? Outside, out of sight came blood and water. Water, right? Blood is for redemption. Water is for life-giving. Because when water is flowing, it is life. And we need some sugar, right? All right. Who wants to drink the Spirit? Oh, there we go. It's sweet. The Lord is so sweet. Jesus is so sweet. All right, I don't have a spoon. See here? Who wants to drink this? All the hands go up, right? Take a drink. Does it need more sugar? That's enough sugar? Okay. So good. So the Lord, in the second becoming, he became the life-giving spirit. So now let's read point number two. This is what the kind of Christ we have in Acts. Point number two under Roman message two. Read it all together. Acts and the epistles, Christ is the spirit, our enjoyment. You have a pen there? The spirit as our enjoyment. Not our duty, our enjoyment. That's why he's the spirit. All right, point one says, in Acts, Christ was not only in the disciples, but even one with them. Who can give me Acts 9:4? Can you read it to me? Acts 9:4. I don't think it's on our verse sheet here. If you have it, stand up and read it to us. Where was the Lord? I thought the Lord was in heaven. He'd been resurrected. He's in Acts now. He's no longer in the Gospels. Stephen saw him there, right? But where was the Lord? He was in the saints, right? Why are you persecuting me? So that there, right there, we see Christ had become the Spirit. That's how he could be in each one of the saints. All right, my burden is in Romans 3, so we're going to go on. Let's read B together. Amen. Brothers, one. Amen. Christ himself. This weekend, we're not talking just about this Bible as a textbook. We want to talk about Christ himself. Amen. This is how he's tangible, right, and touchable, right, through the word. But we want to come to Christ himself. Now, if you look at your scripture reading on page 6, Romans 8, 9, and 10, could we read those verses? How about brothers? Let's read verse 9. Sisters, read verse 10. You are not in the flesh, but in the spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Have the Spirit of Christ. He is not of him. So, when you read this verse, you may get into your mind, wait a minute, it says the Spirit of God, but then it says the Spirit of Christ. Is there two spirits? No. There's actually the whole subject of the Spirit. You could spend your whole life studying and get richer and richer, because the Spirit is all-inclusive. It's the Spirit of God. You know, that includes one aspect. The Spirit of Christ includes another aspect. Actually, what does Philippians 1:19 say? The Spirit of Jesus Christ. We may think, we just read over the Bible, oh, it's all the same, God, Christ, Spirit. No, the Spirit has so many ingredients. You know, like that lemonade? You know, there's so many things been added into the Spirit. You know, I wanted to spend a little bit of time. John 7:39 says, everybody knows this verse, right? But I'll read it to you. So 37 says, in the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone thirsts, anyone. What's the requirement this morning? Anyone thirst. That's the only requirement, is to receive the Spirit. And if you don't have a thirst, Lord, ask, give me a thirst. So they've been feasting for a whole week, but the Lord said here, he who believes into me, as the scripture said, out of his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. But this he said concerning the Spirit, which was not yet. Wait a minute. God was not yet. Are we speaking heresy this morning? We're not speaking heresy. God, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit are all eternal. But here it says the Spirit was not yet. So what does God mean? He was not yet lemonade. He was not yet, what the word has said, told you to remember? Process, right? Our God was not processed to become the life-giving Spirit. Because he says, for the Spirit was not yet, because Jesus had not yet been glorified. When was he glorified? Is when resurrected from the earth, right? Lest the grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it abides alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. How is it glorified? It had to be raised. So that was the Spirit in John 7. But that was outside still. So we'll get to the last part of receiving the Spirit. So back to the epistles, I'm going back and forth here. 2 says, we have a human spirit, and Christ as a spirit is in our spirit, so we can be one with him. That verse I just read you, where do you see the human spirit in there? John 7:39, where do you see the human spirit? Anybody? Only students, though. Where do you see the human spirit in John 7? Actually, 38, sorry, 38. Nobody? It's a hard question. Someone need to ask, huh? Who said it? Innermost being. You know what that is? That is your human spirit. Out of your innermost being. Anyways, that's your human spirit. That's how you're created. We don't have time to get into it. You're created with 3 parts. But your spirit is your innermost being, meant to contain God. All right. And here, 1 Corinthians 6:17 says, he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit. All right, that verse, one spirit. Is it your human spirit or is it the Holy Spirit? One spirit. It says he who is joined to the Lord. So what is God? God is spirit. And you have a human spirit. So what happens when God comes into you? You're joined to the Lord. You become one spirit. So actually that is your mingled spirit. So Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians all shows us that Christ is in us. Amen. Lastly, in the epistles of Revelation, it says, each of the 7 epistles in Revelation 2 and 3 begins, these things says, referring to the Lord himself. But at the end of the epistles, every epistle says, hear what the Spirit says to the churches. By this we can see that he is the Spirit, and the Spirit is he. So it's God today is not speaking, you know, lightning from the heavens, right? How does God speak today? He speaks spirit, right? The Spirit is speaking. But we're going to get into tonight. I'm not jump ahead. You're going to get to see 2 things. How he speaks as a spirit, but you need the word. The word is life. And when you use your spirit to touch the word, you get life. So we need the word and the spirit. So let's read all together Romans 3 together. Christ as the word, eventually as the Spirit. So as the word, Christ is in the stage of revelation. If you have a pen, you can circle this. This is what we covered last night. As the word, Christ is in the stage of revelation, expression, and explanation. That's why we have the Bible, right? Without this, we have no revelation. No expression and no explanation. So that's why we need the living word. But as a spirit, he is in a stage of enjoyment and experience. You know, oh Lord Jesus, he wants us to enjoy him. There's a good footnote. So I told you I was going to come to this. It's in John 20:22. So I said in John 7, the Spirit was not yet. But what about in John 20? This is the verse here. I just love, I was reading this verse this morning, and I so appreciated every word in the Bible. why did the Lord have to say the door was shut? You know, and it's just a minor point, but verse 19 says, when therefore it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, while the doors were shut. Do you believe the Bible is true? So I believe the doors were shut. Nobody could get in that room. They were afraid of being persecuted. But how did the Lord get in? He got in as the Spirit, right? He was not limited by space anymore. So he had been resurrected. His life had been released. So then he could come to verse 22. And he said, and when he had said this, he what? Breathe. What do we need? Breathe. What do we need? Divine breath into us. This is how God gets into us. The first time we say, Lord Jesus, what happens? Breath comes into you. Eternal breath, right? The eternal spirit enters into you. That's so simple, right? We get in our mind so much, but we just need to breathe more. We need to drink more. 1 Corinthians 12:3. If somebody has their study Bible with them, I would like you to read. We're going to read, look at part of a note there in 1 Corinthians. So it's 12:3. I think it's note 3. But so note, let's all read 12:3, whoever has it. 1 Corinthians 12:3. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking in the Spirit of God says Jesus is a curse. No one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. No one can say what? Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. Isn't that good? It's so simple, but we miss it. What does note 3 say? Could someone read note 3 to us with an exercise spirit? 3:3. Amen. Amen. The proper spirit, we say, Jesus is Lord. That is the secret. How we can enjoy the Lord. How can we enjoy the Spirit? We can participate, wow, to enjoy, to experience the Holy Spirit. That's a good nugget right there. You got to highlight that footnote. I had a lot more here. Even wanted to go to Isaiah. I won't have time now, but John 4, there the woman at the well gives you three ways to drink. To confess your sins, right? He helped her confess. He helped her worship the Lord in spirit. And thirdly, he helped her to believe in the Lord. That's why when the first time you believe, you're full of joy. Why? You just drank the Spirit. Just by believing Jesus as Lord, you have received. So we're not talking about like physical water, physical food, right? This is spiritual food, right? That's why we have to use our spirit. Otherwise, God cannot be real to us. Okay, maybe I can still read Isaiah. I'm going off track here, but Isaiah 12, whoever has it, Isaiah 12, is a whole chapter on how we can receive a the salvation enjoyed by Jehovah's beloved people. Here it says, you will say in that day, I will praise you, O Jehovah. You were angry with me, but your anger has turned and you have counseled me. God is now my salvation. I will trust and not dread. For Jehovah is my strength and a song, and he has become my salvation. Therefore, you will draw water with rejoicing from springs of salvation. And you will say in that day, give thanks to Jehovah. Call upon his name. Make his deeds known among the people. Remind them that his name is exalted. Sing psalms to Jehovah, for he has done something majestic. Let it be known all the earth. Cry out with a ringing shout, O inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel. So two verses. Salvation we see in verse 2. He has become my salvation. How did he experience God's salvation? What is the key here? What did he do? Was he quiet? Oh Lord, you know, oh, poor me. I'm going to be killed later on, you know. How did Isaiah receive salvation? What did it, he says, call upon his name. What did Isaiah do? He called on the Lord. Out of your lowest pit, what do you need to do? Call on the Lord. Earlier I was talking to a brother, it was very sweet. You know, we always like these high experiences, right? We like these conference experiences. We're floating in the sky. We're never going to fail again. But Monday morning comes, and oh Lord, you know. But actually, the Lord brings us to our lowest pit. He allows things to happen. He doesn't want us to be there, but he allows it. Why? So we would call on him. You know, we need to cry out and not have so much confidence in ourselves. We need to call out, oh Lord, oh Lord. Let's all try that. Oh Lord, oh Lord. How about, oh Jehovah, oh Jehovah, oh Jehovah. Another way to call, this is actually my burden, how we can touch the Spirit. I was trying to figure out, you know, how can you explain the Spirit? And I'm like, I can't figure it out. I can't explain it to you. But if I get you to touch it, and I touch it, then you get the point. If you touch the Spirit, then you've got this whole message. You've touched what? The life-giving Spirit. Amen. So how can we call? Lord Jesus. But you know that there's different ways of calling on the Lord? You ever thought about that? You can call quietly. You can call deeply. I know the meetings is loudly, but in many of my times, it's just quiet breathing, right? My breathing is my cry, right? So we're going to try this. We're going to call on the Lord as quietly as you can, but as deeply as you can. Do you know what I mean? You're not using a loud voice. You know, I got four kids now, and I can't always use a loud voice because they might be sleeping. But I can still breathe. Oh, Lord. Can we try that? Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. You got to push out. You know, it's not just from your throat here. It's actually your whole being. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord. If you could get this secret, you know, students, we hear about it, you know, but we got to experience it. Our lack isn't in hearing about it. Our lack is in experiencing it. You know, the Bible, it's not so much the lack of, you know, maybe you're new and you don't know this text so much. A lot of us know the scriptures. But many of us, it's just the letter kills, and that's where we end. I read the Bible and the letter kills. I didn't get it. Right? But the Spirit gives life. We got to touch the Spirit. We got to come to a person. I've been trying to meet this Bible reading challenge and to read the whole Bible in 1 year. Anybody has tried that before? To read the whole Bible? And I get these texts every morning. It takes about 15 minutes to get through the Bible. And I'm only in February now, and I'm already behind. But it doesn't mean I give up. I still keep going, right? You know, you got to keep going. You just forget. Well, so what if it takes me a year and a half? At least, I'm still reading. But I'm realizing more and more, I need to turn more words into life. I don't want to just get this text, because I know the text to a certain degree. I want to get more spirit, right? So then I'm just practicing myself, stop and pray. It's not so important to finish everything that right away, stop and pray. That is the key to getting living word, how to turn the living word into life-giving spirit. Okay, point B. We have to enjoy Christ by realizing him as the Spirit. For we must not exercise only our mind to understand him. Spirit, contact him in our spirit. I think that's good. Sisters, read one. What is your aim? Contact the Lord. You know, I like the word daddy, daddy. And many times my children are like, daddy, can I have this? Daddy, when can I have my next Lego set? Daddy, when's my birthday? What are you going to get for my birthday? This birthday is driving me nuts. It's like 6 months from now. When's my birthday? I'm like, don't worry about it. Joy today, anyways. But that's children, right? They're my youngest is, anyways. But sometimes, not so often, but sometimes my son, he's like, Dad, I just love you. I just want to be with you. That's so sweet. You know, he doesn't want something else. He just wants, one time he was like, Dad, I'm never going to stop loving you. He's five, right? I was like, I'm going to remind you of that when you're a teenager. Never going to stop loving you, right? Oh, Lord Jesus. So our unique goal when we come to the Bible is not for some kind of gift, right? Some kind of answer. Actually, is the Lord himself. So your prayer can be answered every time you come to the Bible. Why? Because you got more of God. You got more life. What he gives is secondary, right? What he answers is secondary. So we should come to the Lord with the spirit fully open, worshiping him, praising him, and thanking him. Then we shall know what to pray for, and we shall have much to utter to the Lord in prayer. So the secret in John 15 is, first, the word has to fill us. I'll just read this to you. John 15. I'm almost done here, so get ready to share, because we still have some time. The schedule is wrong. We're actually going to finish at 12:15. So if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever it will and it shall be done for you. What is the requirement? My words have to be abide in you. It's not saying, Lord, give me a better mark in this test, right? Here it's my words, right? These are living words. If his words abiding in you, then you can ask. Right? One verse says, God desires all men to be saved. So you have your friend beside you. Lord, this is your desire. This is your word. You desire all men to be saved. So right now, Lord, you need to save my friend. Right? Don't you think the Father would be happy when you say that? This is God's desire. Doesn't mean it's going to happen tomorrow. But by faith, right, you remind the Lord. Like the widow, right? You keep reminding the unrighteous judge. Until finally she gets what she wants. This is what we need to do with the Lord. Always, right? Pray the word back to him. Lastly, let's read four together. Spirit and the word are... We should not separate the Holy Spirit have within... which we have in our hands. These two are one divine reality. So John 6:63 says, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. What? The words which I have spoken to you are spirit and are life. That's what we need. More living words. That will give us life. So the focus here says, let's all read it together. Christ, as the Word became flesh, who expressed God. Resurrection came the Spirit for our enjoyment and experience. We should exercise our spirit to contact God's Spirit through prayer. Amen.